We're doing our dating series, and we discussed a few points in previous classes. We discussed taking counsel, we discussed speaking with different people, we discussed the parents' role in dating, and we discussed what's important, who I really am, versus my goals, where I'd like to be. We discussed the hierarchy of making decisions, what's really important to us in life. You remember the story of two people climbing a mountain and rocks are stumbling towards them. I want to go over to a few more points. We mentioned one point, the importance of who I am. That this isn't a class in theory. Like, I'm dating as who I am. There's one point which people really have an issue with, and that is, how do I get a date? How do I get to meet a girl? So first of all, to all you guys who are engaged, talk to your kallahs and help the other guys out. To all you guys that are married, so talk to your wives and keep thinking about the other guys here. It's your responsibility. Secondly, if no one knows you're dating, so no one's going to offer you to date anyone. So you sort of have to let people know when you feel you're ready, so people should have you in mind. And I don't think a person should be bashful about this. It's a pity that one needs others' help, but this is an area where it's very hard to get by without other people's help. It's one of the most embarrassing situations, in my opinion. It's maybe the only situation where you actually need other people. Parnasa, hopefully you figure it out, you make it work. Sometimes people can help with contacts. But this is a situation where if no one's going to help you, you're going to have a very hard time getting out of it. So today we have the internet and we have Shadchanim. So each one has its issues. We'll begin with Shadchanim. The story is told about a girl that gets a phone call from a Shadchan, and the Shadchan starts telling her, "Boy, do I have a guy for you. This guy was the top of his class, and such midos, I'm telling you, this is the pearl. This guy is exceptional. And the looks, the guy is a prince. And the family, whoa, what a family he comes from." Now, just before I continue, could you remind me, what guy am I telling you about? The Shadchan asked the girl, remind me, which guy am I talking about? Yes. Why? Because they say the same lines about all the guys. Yeah. I think that the story maybe is not stressed enough. I don't think it's an exaggeration. You have to be very, very careful of Shadchanim. And aside from being very careful of Shadchanim, you also have to be very, very careful of Shadchanim. There are a lot of horror stories out there. And be it the girl that goes out on a date only to discover that the guy has been divorced 3 times and the Shadchan neglected to tell her. Be it the guy that goes out on a date only to discover that the girl is 45 when he's 22 and the Shadchan neglected to tell him. And those are simple stories. Then you have the more intricate stories about the Shadchan that sets up a guy with a girl and he only finds out after a few dates, by the way, that there are genetically inherited diseases there that no one thought it was necessary to tell him. There are a lot of problems out there, and you can encounter them any way you go. But when you're dealing with the Shadchan, you have to remember that all you know is the girl's name, and hopefully you've got that right. Everything else the Shadchan tells you, you have to question. And when people call me, I don't like that they call me Shadchan. I'll get to you in 1 second. When people call me, they ask me, "Are you a Shadchan?" So I ask them, "Do you eat kosher?" So they say, "Of course I eat kosher. What's the question?" So I say, "Then of course I deal in Shadufim. What's the question?" We have a mitzvah to help one another. I have to be a Shadchan in order to help someone else. The fact that I deal in Shadufim is like I deal in other mitzvahs. Would you get insulted if I called you up and said, "Do you eat kosher?" Yeah, you would. You'd say, "Well, what do you ask me if I eat kosher?" So you want to ask me, "Well, which shekshem are good?" Ask me. "Well, you ask me if I eat kosher?" So when people call me up and ask, "Are you Shadchan?" I also think it's wrong. Every one of us has a responsibility to help other people with Shaduchim. Just because you're dating doesn't mean you can't think of the next guy. You dated a girl, she's not for you, so you should stop and think, okay, who is she good for? To this day, I'm still setting up girls who I dated. Now that goes back many, many years before I had white hairs, when I still had a full head of hair. I didn't have that. Okay, but the responsibility of every Jew is to help every other Jew. So if you're offered a girl, I'm setting up girls today that I was offered, I never dated, but I have their information. Save the information. If it's not good for you, maybe it'll be good for a friend of yours. But if you're in a situation where you have to talk to a shadchan, then take down the information and don't believe any of it. When people call me up, I tell them, please call and verify, because you have to get into the habit to verify what a shadchan tells you. I'm telling you that I'm not a liar, but I'm also telling you that every shadchan is. I'm the exception. Maybe there are other exceptions, I don't know, but you can't believe me that I'm the exception. You should believe me that other shadchanim are liars, and therefore don't believe what I'm saying, go check it out with someone else. Because you have to get into the habit of checking something out, checking people out. There is a very bad habit, predominantly in the Tilumi world, that people say, I'm not interested in checking out the girl. What's the worst thing that'll happen? I'll date a girl and it'll be a pleasant date. What's so terrible? So I could tell you many things that are terrible. Very often there are things you cannot see on the surface. And you're also wasting your time and her time. There's no legitimate reason to date a girl if it won't lead to marriage. And with time, people get worn out. So a person could say, well, if I'm only getting set up with one girl in a half a year, then I have to be nuts to say no. And I'll tell the guy, yeah, but if you could find out that she weighs 500 pounds, don't you think you're better off finding that out than going to the date and finding it out? I mean, you might say it doesn't bother you. In baya, I'm not telling you it should bother you. But if it will bother you, so save yourself the time. There are things you could find out before the date. You should find out. If you're going to show up to the date and she's going to tell you, you know, it's been 3 weeks that I'm Jewish. Last month I was Muslim, and now I'm considering Christianity. But right now I'd like to date you. You seem very nice. You guys think I'm exaggerating. I'm telling you true stories.
Wow.
Not everyone's balanced. Even a person that somehow made it through gear, sometimes you have people that are not. And there are a lot of things that you can verify. So you should verify. I don't see any legitimacy other than laziness or maybe the Yetzer Hara, if I could go and spend an evening with a girl, why not? Those are the two reasons I could think of, and neither one is legitimate in my eyes, why a guy would not check out a girl or a girl would not check out a guy. And it is a problem throughout the Tzibur. There are problems out there and you can find out about them. In a few minutes we'll discuss how you check out a girl. So the first thing, if you're going through Shadchan, the advantages are that you might end up getting Shiduchim. The disadvantages are that you'll probably get a lot of lies. So I anticipate many Shadchanim calling me and complaining that I give them the bad rap, but I'm one of them, so I feel like I'm entitled to say it. And all I'm saying is check it out. So that's with regard to Shadchanim. Yes?
Two questions. And this may be a little naivety, but I was just curious. With the shidduchim, you're always going to pay them, right? The shadchan. It's a service, it's a business.
So different shadchanim work in different ways. I recommend if you're going to work with the shadchan that you should be up front and ask the shadchan what the fee is, or ask someone that works with them. If you're dealing with someone who does it like on the side, then usually it's accepted that you give some kind of gift, a monetary gift. Not a gift, but money. Not a gift certificate, not a vase, not something else. It's expected that you give them money when they've made the shidduch. There are questions that arise. What if it was his idea and he set me up? Who's considered the shadchan? Who gets what? How much money should be given? So each person will consult with his rabbi. Some shadchanim have a set fee. I know I called up someone and said, in your area there's a great shadchan, why don't you go to him? So they told me, because he takes 15,000 shekel or dollars, and maybe it was dollars even, if he makes a shidduch. So that's a pretty high fee. Usually shadchanim don't ask, you're supposed to give, and if it's a professional shadchan, then they might have a set fee and they could expect it. If you're working with them, you should know what the fee is.
So,
yeah.
Second question for that. If I'm just trying to figure out the situation where you go to a shadchan, because your friends know you more than anyone. They know
they don't set you up often.
What?
You have many guys in the mahon who want a date and no one's setting them up.
Well,
maybe it's because they know them.
I'm just trying to think why you wouldn't trust your friend more than the shadchan to try to set you up, because they know you more than the shadchan themselves. Like,
I'll get to them in a second. Okay, yeah.
I'm about the gift for the shadchan. Like, being like a set up by a friend, by a member of your friend. So we were thinking about, like, what can be given to show appreciation.
Listen, my child, and you shall hear. Give him money. Let me explain something to you. I'm talking now as a shadchan. Every shidduch that I do costs me, let's say, 30, 40 shekel. Just the conversations, the cell phones, back and forth. Let's figure out how much that means. If I set up 30 people a week, that means I'm spending 900 shekel a week just setting people up. Now you do the math. Am I interested in the thalus or covering my cost? Because even if I make 2 shidduchim a month, and each shidduch is going to give me 1,000 shekel, I haven't covered cost. Anyone who thinks that a shot, at least me, and Baruch Hashem, we have Baruch Hashem, quite a number of shidduchim that go through every month or two, but it doesn't cover cost. Even if each person would give, and each person would give 1,000 shekel, we wouldn't cover cost. So you'd say, maybe I have bad odds. I don't know. I think Baruch Hashem, we have good odds. But at the end of the day, there's cost. So if you have a guy who it doesn't bother him that he's spending so much money, and I'm not talking about the time. I'm just talking about the phone fee. What it costs my phone bill that has to do with shidduchim. I'm not talking about anything else. So it's nice that people give all kinds of other gifts. Because a guy once told me, oh, you're so low you want money? I told him, oh, you're so low you want me to go bankrupt? What do you mean? who's covering my phone bill? When I call a cell phone and I sit there and talk to the person 45 minutes without saying a word, those 45 minutes cost me something. And it's not 2 shekel. So think about it. How much are you paying? You're paying 30 akurot a minute? Do the math. Going back to the other point, I just want to clarify the thing I said before. Sometimes guys don't set up a guy because they know him. That's what I just said. Maybe a guy has to go shop him because other people know him. So I want to share with you a story. A guy once called us up, and when he's on the phone with my wife, he's already yelling at her. And he wants us to set him up with shidduchim. How come he's never home? How come I can never get through him? Just put him on the phone. So the guy's 28 years old, and he's used to being a general in the army, and he's used to having his way, and everyone listening to him. He was like a general of an elite unit, and he was, okay. So I could hear the yelling, and I see my wife like, okay. I take the phone, and I take down his details, and this guy, poor guy, no one was setting him up, and you can understand why. So I take down all his details, and there are a few lessons in this story. And I make a mental note, this guy doesn't have good needles. It's something to wonder about, like, what girl am I ever going to be able to set him up with? Okay, a girl calls me up a few months later. I don't know where she's got my number from, but I never asked. But please do not pass my number on. Guys, there are no phone calls as it is. Every time we're zochet to make a shidduch, I ask the person, one thing, promise me, don't tell anyone I made the shidduch. Their bon shel makes the shidduch, don't tell them I was the shaliach. So this girl calls us up, and I ask her what she's looking for. And she gives me a whole list, and she doesn't tell me that she needs good midos. She tells me this and that, and I say, is there anything else that's important to you? She says, no, this is what's important to me. He should run the house, and he should know what he wants out of life, and he should have a good pranos on this and that. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, now what do I do? She says she doesn't need good midos, and this is finally a girl that can match for this guy. Everything fits. So I'm thinking, am I ever going to be able to live with myself if I set her up with him? So I decide, you know what? He also has to get married. So I'll think of a way to make sure that she understands what kind of guy she's dating. But if it's not important for her good needles, then this is the guy for her. Everything else matches. So I tell her, you know, there's a guy, we'll have to discuss him if it works out, that might be like up your alley. And I tell her some things about him, and she tells me, oh, is it so-and-so? So I tell her, yeah, how do you know? So she says, he gave me your number, I dated him. That's exactly what I'm looking for. So I feel bad for the girl, but you see a few points. Just because a person has bad needles doesn't mean there won't be a girl that's there for him. You have to think how to do it. We once had a guy who was just weird. I mean, really weird. So I had a shidduch that was just for him. The girl was really weird. And I went over to a guy and I said, could you set them up? So the guy tells me, but he's weird. So I said, I know he's a little strange, he's unique, but this girl might actually like him. So he tells me, I don't have the guts to say Zashir. No, I'm not doing that. So I told him, look, I don't mind setting them up, but for the next 3 weeks I was just busy then. I told him, I know I'm not going to have the time to talk to each one to get the shidduch rolling. It's going to take me another 2 months before I could take the time to make sure it's presented nicely and each side gets the phone numbers and everything. So he tells me, I'm not touching that. I'm not going near that. So I said, okay, fine. 2 months later, I come to the guy and he's engaged to that girl. Someone else had set them up. 2 months later, they're engaged. So even though sometimes he has issues, she has issues, well, sometimes that works together. So this is going, because we have so many guys who are already engaged, I'm telling you guys, you have to help other guys get married, and you have to help set them up, and you also have to try to develop a good eye. You don't have to be stupid, but you do have to have a good eye. So you look at people and you say, what does he have positive, and what type of girl is going to like his positive attributes? And every person has positive things. So going back to the rest of us who are dating, when it comes to a shadchan, there's a certain fear. They don't know me. How could they set me up? So you should just know that, Baruch Hashem, we were zochet to be shlichim for quite a number of couples. There are a lot of couples out there that we were zochet to be their shliach. And almost all of them, I never met the girl. In policy, I never meet the girl. I refuse to meet the girl if I could only avoid it. And I only meet her after they're engaged. They come by to say thank you. That's when I see her for the first time. I find that there's, at least for me, there's zero benefit in seeing the girl. Girls will sometimes send me an email of their picture after we've spoken over the phone, and I email back, and on policy I will not look at a girl's picture. But if you wish, I'll ask my wife to take a look at it before deleting it. I don't buy that people say, how well do you know the other side? If you know how to talk to people and try to understand them, then maybe you'll be zocha. Even if you don't know, you might be zocha to be a good shaliach. A person has to try, and try intelligently, but the fact that one side knows better or worse, that doesn't mean anything. The one who set me and my wife up met me over a Shabbos meal. It was a woman who was my wife's teacher. I came once for a Shabbos meal, and they have, Baruch Hashem, I don't know, 10, 15 kids. She didn't exactly have time to sit at the table and schmooze with me. She saw me once. I was there for a Shabbos meal, and she set me up with my wife. You can't know. If someone reads you shidduch, don't look at him and say, well, he knows me so well, and he knows me so well. Sit down and take the facts and judge it based upon who are they trying to set you up with. You shouldn't care how well they know you. You should care about the facts. Cold, hard facts. What's this girl like? What do I find out about the girl? Does it make sense or doesn't it make sense? Oh, so you don't trust the shadchan. In a minute, we'll discuss how you check things out. I just want to discuss one more point before we go on to checking things out, and that is rabbis. Sometimes rabbis will set you up. So, before we go to rabbis, let's go back to the internet. So, a shadchan, we said, you have to question the validity of anything they tell you. The internet, you have to doubly question everything they tell you. Because on the internet, the person controls their own profile. So I can say whatever I want about myself. When girls call me up and they tell me they're 30, so depending on how important it is, sometimes I'll say, is it 35-30, or is it 32-30, or is it 30-30? You know, the 30 could be a lot of ages. So sometimes I don't ask. I don't care. She said she's 30. That's the guy's problem. If he wants to verify, let him verify. But sometimes I do ask, depending on how much I think she's lying. When it comes to the internet, no one controls. With the shadchan, you might have some control. With the internet, you have no idea who you're dating. You don't know if you're dating an axe murderer, you don't know if you're dating a religious person, a non-religious person, a Jew, a non-Jew. You have no idea. So it's free for all. Can it work? Sure, it's proven itself. It can work. Do I recommend it? No. Is it a good last resort? Yes. Am I happy it exists? Yes. Because there are people who don't have any other option. But you should just know that there are a few major faults with dating through the internet. And one of them is that you don't really have a contact person. We once had a shidduch. A guy got engaged with a girl through the internet, and then they came and met with us, and my wife and I both felt that she had serious psychological issues. Now they walked into our house engaged, and now the question is, what do you do? They're already a couple. I mean, as far as they're concerned, they're setting a date and they're telling everyone they're engaged. Now we feel like the guy might have missed some serious psychological issues. So one of the problems was that they met over the internet. So now we had no contact information. We didn't know who her Rebbetzin was, her Rav was, where she learned, nothing. We had no way of contacting anything. That's one example of a serious issue. You should try to verify, just like you're going to verify a girl that you're set up with a shadchan, or by the same token through the internet. And I see we're going to have to leave the verifications for next class. I'd like to cover one more point, and that is rabbis and rebbetzins. Now, we mentioned it last time, we'll just mention it again. Rabbis and rebbetzins have a very limited view of the people. Take everything they say with 10 grains of salt. Everyone behaves nicely in front of their Rebbe. Everyone behaves nicely in class. The question is, what's the person like for real? And very often, a rabbi or a rebbetzin can feel like they've gotten a real picture of the person when they haven't. So as much as they may say things powerfully, oh, it's a wonderful girl, she's really great, she's caring, blah, 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 you got to think 10 times about whether how much validity to give that. And my approach is generally, don't even listen, don't even call. Like, you want to call just for the heck of a call, but I recommend that you try to verify everywhere else but there. What if they're the ones setting you up? So here there's a problem, because on the one hand, he's your Rav, you trust him. On the other hand, now he's wearing the hat of the shadchan, you shouldn't trust him. So which one should prevail? So you guys know me, don't trust him. Okay, what does it mean, don't trust him? He's not going to try to hurt you, but people sometimes go into a shidduch and they say, my Rav set me up with this girl, it must be good. He only wants what's good for me. You cannot enter a shidduch that way. Hopefully your Rav wants what's good for you, but that doesn't mean he's had the chance to verify everything that you should verify about a girl. I've seen many instances where people enter a shidduch going blindly with the shidduch because, oh, my Rav said it's going to work, or my Rav said it's an excellent girl, so she must be an excellent girl. I don't think you can approach a shidduch that way, and I say this also to the shidduchim I set you up with. Of course, when I tell you she's an excellent girl, I really think she's an excellent girl. But I could be wrong. Check me out. Don't take my word for it, and don't give more weight to my word than I'm saying you should give to any other rabbi's word. You have to check it out and see. And don't be misled just because it's your rabbi that set you up. That shouldn't carry that much extra weight. You have to check it out. And Bezat Hashem, next class, we'll have to discuss how you check out a girl. When your friend set you up, so you guys remember the story we discussed a few weeks ago about Mark Twain's son-in-law? With friends like that, you don't need enemies. So I hope you guys have better friends than Mark Twain's son-in-law. But you have to know that even your friends cannot be trusted blindly. I've seen in very, very sad instances of who friends set people up with. You never know where a person's loyalty lies, and you never know how well that person checked out a shidduch. So bottom line, be it the internet, shadchan, your Rebbe, or your friend that's setting you up, you have to verify. And that is, Be'ezat Hashem, where we will pick up next week, how you check out a shidduch.